Our passage here in Hebrews this morning, the writer of Hebrews has been teaching a lot of doctrine up to this point about Jesus, about the cross, about his high priestly ministry. And here in chapter 6, he switches over to the practical side of Christianity. We actually looked at verses 9 and 10 last week in Patadadu, where God tells us that we should be performing the work and labor of love. But here at the beginning of the chapter, notice he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." And so the Bible here is exhorting Christians there in verse 1 to go on. To go on. And that is our title today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word and its power and its beauty. And pray, Lord, that now the Holy Spirit would illuminate in our hearts. And Lord, that we would be responsive as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. In this matter of service and going on for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we would leave changed through your word, and that you would be glorified through our service, through our praise, and through our response to your word. Thank you, and have your will. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Leaving the principles. He here talked about the principles of the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the cross in the first five chapters of Hebrews. And he says, now that you've got those things down as a Christian, you're learning these basic doctrines of Christianity, which actually we've been teaching on in our Sunday school class. He says, I want you to go on unto perfection. I want you to go on in your Christian life, to go beyond the basics, if you will, of Christianity. Too many Christians are stuck. They're stuck in their Christian walk. They maybe have gotten distracted, maybe hurt. Maybe they're focusing on past accomplishments rather than what God wants for them in the future. Whatever it might be, God wants us to go on. And Jesus even warned us that this could happen. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, if you would. Here he's talking about, obviously, the seed of the Word of God here in this parable. But he mentions here in chapter 13, verse 21, what can happen sometimes to Christians. He says, "Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended." If you've been saved for longer than 5 minutes, you're going to face some tribulation because it's part of the Christian life. But the last thing God wants is for you to get offended or get angry and to stop moving forward for God, which so many Christians do. Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, if you look there, please, he talks about Lot's wife, and he tells us that there's a great spiritual lesson from Lot's wife. He says, "And no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back." And so here he's not only teaching us about farming. Obviously, if you want straight furrows in the dirt, you can't be looking behind you, can you? You've got to be looking forward. You've got to pick something on the horizon to keep them straight. But he says, well, we shouldn't look back. And when he's talking about Lot's wife, he even says, don't look back. That's in the past. And that's not what he wants from Christians. Hebrews 10:38, quickly, if you would. What God wants us to do is go on, to go forward in our Christianity for Him, to keep growing, to keep flourishing, to keep putting the gifts to use that He's given to us, to be a good steward of all that God has entrusted. Notice Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith." Amen. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." God's will is that we go on. You know, in our chapter, Hebrews 6 and verse 9, he says, "We're persuaded better things of you." things that accompany. We're persuaded that you will go on. We're persuaded of better things than to get stuck in the past or to get stuck with some sort of distraction. We're told in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. This is God's will, that our path keeps getting brighter because we keep getting closer to Jesus as we are faithfully serving him. In John 8:31, if you turn there, Jesus talking about his word and the power of it. And he makes an interesting statement about discipleship here in John chapter 8, down in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking about one of these rare occasions where some of the Jewish people actually believed that he was the Messiah, believed that he was the one. And he turned to them, and what did he say? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So he says, it's good that you believed on me, but now I want you to be a good disciple by continuing in my word, by keeping moving forward and go on for Jesus. Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul talked about his own Christian walk. If you want to turn there, very well-known passage. And notice what he says, brethren, Philippians 3:13, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And yeah, how many Christians are stuck in the past? Forgetting those things which are behind, and what? Reaching forth unto those things that are before, going on in my Christian life. I press, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to stop pressing. And he got to the end of his Christian life there in 2 Timothy 4. And what did he say? I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He kept pressing. He kept going. He kept going, going, going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Going on, he says, Hebrews 6, go back there if you would, verse 1. Therefore, leaving those principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto what? Perfection. You know, it's God's will that every Christian be perfected in their faith. That word perfecting, we have to be careful. It doesn't mean that we're sinless. Here he's talking about us constantly being refined and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's a process, isn't it? You know, the day we get saved, we're just a sinner saved by grace, aren't we? And depending on how old we were when we got saved, we have a lot of baggage a lot of times. And God's will is that we throw that off. But it doesn't happen in one day, does it? No, God works through his word. God works through the Holy Spirit. He works through trials, and he slowly but surely perfects us, conforms us, as we're told in Romans 8:29, to the image of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants, is that we go on unto perfection. David even understood this. Look at Psalm 138, verse 8. Even though he was in Old Testament, he had a very sweet relationship with the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. And notice here in Psalm 138, verse 8, what he said. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. It says, the Lord will perfect my walk with him. Paul said the same thing in Philippians 1:6, didn't he? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God's going to keep perfecting us. He wants us to go on unto perfection. If you would look at 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, look what he said about this matter of going on unto perfection. He says, night and day, praying exceedingly. So this is Paul praying for the church that the Lord allowed him to plant in Thessalonica, praying that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Our desire is that you be perfected, that you go on unto perfection. No Christian would stand up and say, my prayer life is exactly what it should be. We all know it could be better, don't we? Or that my knowledge of Scripture is exactly what it should be. We can all learn more. or that I'm the witness God wants me to be. We can all witness more and better. And we could go on and on, but God wants us to go on. Or that my tongue is 100% under control. How many of us can say that? Never gets me in trouble. Anyway, how does God perfect us? He wants us to go on into perfection. How does he do this? Well, he perfects our faith by trials. That's not a shock, is it? God uses trials. Go back to Psalm 119:71, that David understood again that the trials that he went through were for his good. And we always must remember this, that when we go through trials, they are for our good. They are to teach us something. They are to perfect us. Look at what David said here in Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me. Psalm 13, if you would turn there quickly. David again, being honest with God about his trials. David said in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long shall I take counsel of my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted and over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. What if the psalm stopped right there? We wouldn't learn much, would we? But in verse 5, David says, But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. David stopped and said, yes, things are really bad right now. But God hasn't turned his back on me. And God is still developing me. He's still perfecting me. And we must always keep that. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul came to God, and he had been dealing with some sort of a thorn, some sort of a trial. We don't know what it was for sure, but it had obviously become pretty intense for Paul, for him to come to God and say, Lord, I can be more effective if you'll take this away. And three times he said, Lord, please take it away. Please take this thorn out of my life so I can be a better church planter, a better missionary. And in verse 9, God finally answers Paul and he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's that word perfect again. And by the way, God did not take away the thorn. But Paul's perspective changed on the thorn. Because Paul says then, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I understand now, Lord, you gave me this thorn for my good. You gave me this thorn that I might be, what? Perfected. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God is going to use trials to perfect us. If you go to 1 Peter 5:10, we'll see it one last time. God wants us to go on in our Christian life unto perfection. And how's he going to do this? He's going to keep allowing things in your life, very often trials, that he might refine you, which is the perfecting process. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Let's just skip the next phrase for a second. Make you perfect. So that's what we all want, right? We want to be made perfect. We want to be perfected. We want to be refined. But we can't skip that phrase, can we? And what does it say? After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. The God of all grace hath called you into eternal glory by Christ. In other words, God has called you. God is a God of grace. After that you've suffered a while, he will make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. God uses suffering to perfect our faith. So God wants us to go on into perfection. Don't be surprised when he says, here's a trial, here's another trial, here's another trial, because I'm perfecting you. God also not only perfects our faith through trials, but he affects our love through people. That's how we learn to love as he loved us. Is he brings people into our life that we might learn to love as he loves. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and I'll show you verse 11. And of course, that's even one of the evidences of salvation, isn't it? 1 John 3:14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's that love that says, yes, I'm saved. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives in me. And the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. But notice 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. There's that word perfect again. So the next time you bring someone into your life that's hard to love, don't say, Lord, take them out of my life. Say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Because he's perfecting us. Amen? It's just what God does. He wants us to go on unto perfection. Go back to our passage now in Hebrews 6. He says, therefore, leaving those principles of the doctrine of Christ, yes, we need grounded in the Word, amen, and we've got to keep growing in the Word, but there's got to be more to the Christian life. I want you to go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundational things. It's our responsibility to know God's Word, to know the foundational things. We actually just did a study in Sunday school. The seven foundational doctrines. We should know those seven things perfectly. And if we don't, then we study until we do. What are those seven things? God. We should know about God and his nature, who he is, his word, how we learn about God and the power and importance of his word that he's preserved for us. Creation, that God created everything and sustains everything. And then the fall of man, which led to, number five, salvation. Which is a big part of the scriptures, isn't it? Salvation we find in Jesus and then the church, and then we're now studying the end times. Laying that foundation, but not laying it again, of repentance and of baptisms and of the basic doctrines and of tithing and of being faithful to church. He says these are the baby steps. These are the things that we should already be settled on. God wants us to go on into perfection. God wants us to grow in our Christian walk. He wants us to learn not only faithfulness, saying I'm going to be faithful to church, but faithfulness to him every day, all week, all month, all year. Amen? He wants us to go on unto perfection. He wants us to be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week Christian. How does that happen? Well, God's going to keep working in your life. The more time you spend with him, the more you'll be like him. The more time you spend in his word, the more he can use his word to speak to us, to grow us, to refine us. When we look into his word, look at James chapter 1. He calls it a mirror here in James. And as we look in his word, if we will respond when the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, then what will happen is we will grow. It says here in, where am I? Forgot to write it down. Oh, yeah. Verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That word glass is talking about a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he's using the example of looking in the mirror, you see a bunch of flaws. You say, oh, whatever, and you go out into the world anyway. You don't deal with the flaws. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, talk about the word now, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the more that we spend time in the word with the Holy Spirit's help, the more that we, like the song says in Psalm 139, search me, O God, try me, O Lord, know my thoughts, know my heart. The more that we do that, the more the Holy Spirit uses his word and says, yep, need some perfecting there. But then he's going to bring trials into our life. He's going to bring people into our life because he wants us to go on unto perfection. Maybe you're stuck. Listen, the Christian life is a long distance run. I was just talking to Brother Brent earlier about the marathon that he ran. Marathon's a long way. 42 Ks is a long run. But let me tell you, the Christian life is longer. We don't even know how long. Makes it a very unique race, doesn't it? Because we don't know where the finish, we don't know when the finish line is. We know where it is. It's heaven with God. But we don't know when. And so we just keep running. And we keep running. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That's by any means. When I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I just keep running. Hebrews chapter 12. What's it say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Run the race that is set before us, it says. We just got to keep running. And how many Christians have said, no, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to sit on this bench. That's not in the Bible. We get to sit on the bench in heaven, amen? God calls it a place of rest. And those are going to be some amazing benches, I guarantee it. Probably covered in gold. But down here, we just keep going. Those disciples, when he sent them across the lake, and then he brought up that big storm, and he stood up on the hillside and he watched them for hours, rowing and rowing and getting absolutely nowhere. They just were stuck in the middle of the lake because the wind was so intense. But he watched them row and row and row because that was his instructions. Gentlemen, go to the other side. That was it. And they just kept rowing. That's what God wants. Amen? He doesn't want us to say, well, I'm done. I'm not going to row anymore. No, just whatever Jesus tells you to do next. But for now, that's our only instructions. And we got to just keep going, guys. And then finally, Jesus comes and walks on the water. We know the story. What was he teaching them? Keep going. Go on. Just keep going. Unto what? Perfection. So if your Christian life is perfect and you never sin, then you don't need this message. But if you do sin, then, and you're not like Jesus 100% yet, then God says, go on. Amen? Keep going. Don't quit. Stand fast and keep rowing and keep running unto perfection. And of course, we'll be 100% perfect when we get to heaven. But until then, God is going to keep conforming us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's going to use trials. He's going to use people. He's going to use His Word. He's going to use the Holy Spirit. He's going to use whatever at His disposal because He wants you to be more like Jesus. So let Him do the work. Amen? And go on. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your precious, powerful, and beautiful Word. Thank You for speaking to us from it this morning. I pray, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts, I pray that we would be responsive. And Lord, we'd be willing to remove any weight that besets us. Lord, that we would be like that good soldier You told us to be, to not let anything burden us down, that we might go on unto perfection. Lord, if there's Christians that know there's some things that need to change for this to happen, I pray the Holy Spirit will help them to commit to those changes. And Lord, if there's someone in our midst here this morning that's not sure they're born again, I pray today would be the day they will come to Christ, who is their only hope for heaven. Thank You for Your Word.